Lori, we're back for another episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast.
Well, I'm so excited that we're back for another episode of the Travel Vertical Podcast.
Yes, for those listening, this is the podcast where you get your industry news, and also we like to highlight destinations that are doing unique things in the industry. I'm your host, Adam Stoker, and I am president and CEO of Relic, an advertising agency, helping destinations all over the country. And then my co-host, who's much more interesting than me, is Lori Jo Miller Farr. And Lori, why don't you tell everybody who you are as well?
Hi, everybody. I'm the editor of the Travel Vertical, which is your weekly newsletter of industry happenings, B2B.
And we bring that newsletter to life on this show. And boy, it was an interesting newsletter this week, wasn't it, Lori?
Yeah, we had quite a lot of interest in a clickbait headline, which was...
I saw that.
You know, go for it, right? I mean, I can remember other clickbait headlines that we've done over the years, like, you know, Rhode Island makes a disastrous mistake and things like that. But, you know, it's calling a spade, Visit Duluth gets the axe. So what happened and why? Let's talk about
it. Yeah, I'm curious. What did happen there?
Well, we've been following that story since May. And it appeared that there was going to, well, the mayor of Duluth said, I'm going to put the contract out to bid, is essentially what happened. And of course, Visit Duluth has been around since 1935. And so it's kind of like, hello, you know, what just happened here? So that $2 million that, you know, on the table, should we talk to some other people? Are we happy with what Visit Duluth is doing?
Okay, Lori, so what happened? The mayor put that out to bid, and then what did she do next? And you know, what's happening in Duluth?
Yeah, well, she just said that this the city's next tourism marketing contract worth $1.8 million would be up for review. And so in the end, Visit Duluth was among those who were indeed a finalist for it. But then last week, it was announced that a Minneapolis-based firm, not in Duluth, called Belmont Partners, and their partner, which is a Sioux Falls-based company out of state, had won the contract. So last Monday night, there was a city council meeting, and by a vote of 7-1, I believe, that was confirmed. So the contract's been taken away from Visit Duluth.
Wow. Okay, so that's big news. What do other destinations in the industry need to watch out for to make sure that that doesn't happen to them?
Well, one industry observer who I follow, called Brian London, wrote, quote, the situation in Duluth is a good reminder that destination organizations are contracted agencies. Their contract is not promised forever. Don't wait for elected officials in your destination to pull the fire alarm. Take the time to be sure that your activities are aligned with the goals, the priorities of the stakeholders who determine your future funding. Well said.
Yeah, very well said. Well, hopefully everybody that's listening kind of takes that as a little mini wake-up call to kind of get their house in order.
Exactly. So that was a surprise at the moment. Visit Duluth City Council has been offered a much smaller $400,000 contract just to look after a piece of the thing, which is convention coordination and a visitor center. But at this time, they have not even said that they'd like to have that part of the contract much reduced.
Interesting. Okay. All right. There's a little... shot of adrenaline in the morning for everybody to kind of make sure that they've got everything all set. What about, I know that in the upcoming eTourism Summit, we're going to be highlighting a lot of these emerging tourism stars. And I know you wanted to talk about a couple of them today.
Well, these are the seven people who have been selected as the first inaugural year emerging tourism stars. And so each of them is getting a personal profile in the Travel Vertical so that we can talk to them about how'd you get your job? How'd you get started in the business? What's it been like for you? How about during the pandemic, you know, and hear their personal journey. So we get to know them a little bit better. So we've written up now four of them and three more to go, but people are enjoying judging from the numbers of views, they're enjoying these stories about the seven individuals. Some are social media marketing managers. One is a 31-year-old CEO of a DMO who reckons he may be the youngest CEO in the USA, but certainly the youngest in Louisiana.
Interesting. Okay. All right. What was his name?
His name is Cody Gray.
Cody Gray.
Cody
okay.
Gray.
Congrats to Cody and the other emerging tourism stars.
Yeah. It's really fun to talk to them and find out what makes them so outstanding as an individual and a professional in the view of their peers.
Great. All right. So more to come on that then for eTourism Summit. Everybody will be able to read their entire bio and kind of why they were selected.
Yeah. It's an interesting little chit chat. We've got other news. I mean, the place news, destination news is kind of all over the map. I mean, you'll find one destination saying, we want to build a bigger visitor center and we're going to use some, you know, CARES funding or other federal funding to do so. And then we've got another one in Monterey, California, that says we're going to shut ours down. Our visitor center is too costly to operate. So we're seeing on the one side, Visit Duluth losing their contract. On the other side, we see Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, successfully getting a new tourism destination marketing district. So, you know, things are all over the spectrum.
Yeah, it's hard to see what the trends are when there's so many different things happening at every end of the spectrum. It'll be interesting to see how a lot of this, I know we're not fully post-COVID, but how a lot of this post-COVID shakeup works out, because I don't think this is the end of it.
No, they're like you just said, it's impossible to sort of identify a trend. The one trend that we do see is major cities saying we are taking it upon ourselves to mandate masks or vaccination, proof of vaccination, to get in to somewhere. So San Francisco has become the first major city to say full vaccination proof, full, not partial, like New York, to get into a bar, a restaurant, a club, a fitness center, a theater, a cinema, entertainment venue, anywhere that's going to have 1,000 people or more. New York City has done it as well and said, okay, partial, we'll go with partial. New Orleans is doing it. Los Angeles is going to do it. Palm Springs has done it. Puerto Rico has done it. So that is a trend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch and see how that spreads over the country, because I know that there's different people that look at those in different ways. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if that becomes a trend even in the red states across the country. It'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, there's also another sort of mini trend. I see New Orleans and Nashville. Both of those DMOs have said they're going to pause on advertising right now. They're going to look at it on a month-to-month basis. Yeah, we're going to watch and see if that becomes a trend.
Okay, so you said Nashville and who else?
New Orleans.
And New Orleans. Okay.
They have paused their national campaign, which was called Concierge. They're still doing some metro and local advertising for the drive-centric audience and the dining audience, but they've stopped their national campaign for the moment, and Nashville's put theirs on hold.
Well, that'll be interesting as well. My wife and I are actually leaving in 30 days to go to Nashville on a little vacation. So I bet a lot will change between now and the time we arrive.
That's the only thing we do know, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of changes, though, we've got some other interesting news in the industry, and everybody's always interested. Jobs. What are you seeing in jobs this week?
Oh, well, in jobs this week, which I'm still writing up right now, and checking on making sure that the ones we publish are still open, at least we're doing our best. But I guess the big change that I see is these jobs are moving faster. I feel that over the last few months, I was seeing jobs, great jobs, that were open. And week after week, I'd be publishing that job. And now checking on some of the ones from last week and the week before, they're gone. So that's something that I've observed just this week.
Okay, that's interesting. Why do you think that would be?
Why do you? I really don't know.
Well, I almost wonder because I would say about 6 months ago, I started to see the jobs really pick up. There was a lot of open jobs. I think destinations realized that they needed to, whether it was make changes or maybe they laid off their staff and they needed people to come back or furloughed or whatever. And I think it also woke a lot of people up in the industry to maybe it is time for a change. So now you've got the people leaving and then you've got the destinations deciding to make the changes along the way. And I think the shakeup was so big that not everybody knew where to land. And I think now that there might be a little bit of stabilization taking place, I think people are more definitive about the decisions they make and which jobs to take. Now, I could be totally wrong, but that's if I was going to analyze it, that would be my take.
That's an interesting take. It's quite possible. Meantime, we see, I'd say about 20 jobs this week that are top level, you know, senior vice president, director of marketing, vice president, global marketing, from really big DMOs. There's, do you want some examples?
Yes, please.
All right. Senior vice president of convention sales at the Greater Miami CVB, senior vice president and chief marketing officer at Visit Dallas. There's everybody knows if they read the travel vertical that there's a new state travel director in Colorado. So he is now looking for director of marketing communications. They're looking for vice president of global marketing at Destination Vancouver, if you want to go to Canada.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to Sonoma County Tourism in a moment. They're looking for a vice president of business development.
These are some big destinations, big jobs, some great opportunities.
If you're on the research side, San Diego needs you for director of research. If you're on the destination and convention services side, Seattle wants to know you. If you're a national account manager, they want to know you at Visit KC, Kansas City, Missouri. If you're an email specialist, talk to NYC and Company. If you're into IT, Visit San Antonio in Texas wants you. So it does go on and on. I've got LA, Las Vegas, Visit Florida, Utah. Hello, Utah.
Okay, which one's in Utah right now?
Utah's looking for global content and tour specialist.
All right.
There's Visit Indy, there's Visit El Paso, Visit Orlando, Destination Madison, Philadelphia. These are big jobs. Choose Chicago. More.
Well, Lori, if people want to see the entire list, they go read it at thetravelvertical.com, right?
That's right. And if they click on the link, it won't go anywhere. So it takes so much work to put this together every week and to see if these jobs are current that I don't put the link as well. So if I found them, you can find them.
Okay. There,
you know, and that's why God made LinkedIn.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, Laurie, it's time to introduce our guest. We've got a great guest today. Do you mind sharing with everybody who he is?
Yeah, absolutely. Todd O'Leary is here. And Todd is Vice President of Marketing at Sonoma County Tourism, just north of San Francisco, where I'm sitting right now. And he's going to talk to us about an exciting new project that they've just done up there in Sonoma wine country.
Todd, welcome.
Thank you both for having me. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. It's going to be a fun conversation today. We love when somebody does something super unique, and you guys have clearly done that in Sonoma. Do you want to give us just a general overview of the project?
Sure. We launched our Life Opens Up brand a number of years ago, and we've been constantly looking for different ways to express that brand and what people feel when they travel here to Sonoma County. And this was one of the really fun projects as part of that larger kind of brand launch, if you will, that really works to encapsulate a destination in a soundtrack.
So the project is called Sonoma Sound?
That's right. The Sonoma Sound is not only a great alliteration, but really works to leverage all of the different artistic talents of our destination here in Sonoma County that then works to communicate this this wonderful expression of traveling through Sonoma County and what one might feel like when they're doing that.
Okay. So when did you start this and what's the process been like?
Yeah, we have an organization here in Sonoma County by the name of Creative Sonoma, and the executive director of that organization sits on our board and approached myself and our president and CEO a few years back and said, wouldn't it be great to work together on a project to really leverage the artistic community here in Sonoma County? And we were, again, launching our brand at that time, and we're all ears. And so through that process, we identified a local Grammy-recognized songwriter by the name of Cliff Goldmacher. And Cliff lives here in Sonoma County. And we sat down with him early on back in February of this year. And we just started talking about our brand. We opened up our brand guidelines document and looked at all of the different feelings and the essence of Sonoma County experience. And Cliff took a ton of notes. We talked about different brand campaigns and other destinations and the feelings and the emotions that come out of those. And out of that, he really just kind of took that conversation, a series of conversations actually, and created this soundtrack. So that was about a 1 month kind of project until we heard that first kind of pass at what the soundtrack was going to become.
Did you ever think, Todd, about, like, so you've answered the question, what does the destination sound like? Are you going to tackle what does the destination smell like or taste like? Or
good question, Laurie.
Sounds like Emeril Lagasse, Smell-O-Vision, right? we just might. You never know.
You never know. All right. So how long? So from start to finish, probably what, February, March, April, May, June, what, 6 or 7 months?
Yeah, our first discussion with Cliff happened actually February 1st. The recording itself took place in studio in April, and then we just launched it. We finalized the track in July, but then just launched it here as we kind of pulled together a promotion and put the full webpage together, launched it this month in August.
Todd, this is brilliant. I want to say congrats to you and your destination, because I talk a lot with destinations about branding and brand consistency and all the things that come along with it. Rarely do I hear someone that answers the question. I mean, sure, if they'll have a verbal answer of what does your destination sound like? If your destination was a sound, what would it be? You guys took it a step further and said, no, this is our destination soundtrack. And from a brand consistency standpoint, now anytime you've got a video, or let's say you had a podcast or whatever it is, that music bed is Sonoma. I think that's taking branding and the controlling of your touch points to kind of the next level.
Yeah,
that's right. It's all about emotion, right? It's the experiences that people have when they travel about Sonoma County. We're a visually beautiful destination first and foremost, and the sort of this undulating landscape and the rugged Pacific coastline and these towering redwoods and these vineyards that carpet our destination. It's a visually emotional kind of experience when especially when we have people that come from other parts of the country that don't have that visual kind of display in front of them. That's one of the first things. And before you even get into the wine, right, and the other stuff, it's that visual piece. But then when we talk about our brand, again, life opens up. We think about when a sommelier opens that bottle of wine and you let it breathe, you let it open up, and that sort of taking that a step further into then what the human experience is in our destination. It's unique to each of us, right? But there's still some commonalities there. And we think the soundtrack and those highs and the lows and the sort of awe-inspiring wonder of it really works to encapsulate our brand experience so beautifully.
Todd, here's a question. Did anyone ever say it's kind of a challenge to show the things that Sonoma has got? I mean, it's so famous for the California wine, okay? But here's a place where crashing Pacific waves and towering redwood trees are competing, for attention because the wine is so famous. I even said it in the intro. I said Sonoma Wine Country, and I almost, got angry with myself because it's that's really short selling what else there is in Sonoma, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. We're certainly known for wine. That's you ask 10 people and 9 out of 10 times the first thing out of their mouths when they think of Sonoma County is going to be wine. And most definitely we lead with that most days. But it by no means tells the entire experience. And we have people that come here and don't drink a drop of wine. You know, we're known for other craft beverages, which is great too. But, you know, especially here in as we start to emerge from this pandemic, we are the kind of destination that resonate with people. We have these wide open spaces and these grand vistas and, you know, the negative ions that come in off of the ocean and make people feel better. And so we have this sort of outdoor wonderland here too. And that is as much a part of our brand experience as the wine or other things that we might be better known for. But then, goodness, when you sort of marry those things and you get to drink a glass of wine, for instance, and look at that beautiful vista or the crashing Pacific Ocean, people are just in heaven when they visit here. And again, we think this soundtrack captures some of those emotions so beautifully too.
Great. I know you mentioned that local artists played into this and that was a really important part of this campaign. I think a question I would have for you is this the permanent soundtrack for Sonoma, or are we going to make this an annual thing? How do you balance the process and the newness with the consistency that would come along having it be the same, but it could also get stale? I don't know. What's your thought process there?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, this soundtrack, when your listeners hear it, there's no vocals. There's vocals, but there's no spoken, words to it. And so that is something that, you know, people have different feelings about. Even our staff, you know, some folks wish that there were lyrics with it. And so maybe we'll do one down the road that has lyrics, or maybe a completely different set of musicians that has their own ideas about their experiences. Again, that as we know, travel experiences are so personal and those emotions that we have with those. So who knows? Maybe we will create another one down the road.
Anyway, creatives are key to the thing, wouldn't you say? So anyone who's thinking they might do something similar like this, steal this idea, they need to start, do you think, with talking to the creative community?
I really think so. And, this, I often say that this project is Sonoma County. It's by Sonoma County. It's for Sonoma County and those who love Sonoma County. Everything that we did here with this project leveraged the talent and the resources here in this destination. And so, yes, the leveraging that creative community was absolutely key in doing this. We couldn't have done it without it, or at least not been as genuine in doing that, right? We could have brought in talent from San Francisco or some other place, but it wouldn't have been genuine and authentic. And we felt that that was really important here. And so working with an organization like, Creative Sonoma here in Sonoma County was super key. So I would encourage your listeners to identify what an organization like that is in their own destinations and start some conversations with them as a, kind of a level set.
Well, I'm dying to hear it. I don't know about anybody else that's listening, but I want to hear the soundtrack.
Let's do it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I can see it. I can see the rolling hills. I can see the vineyards. That is a very good capture of a sound that equals the imagery that you would see in your destination.
What have we got going on there? Acoustic and vocals, and what else are we hearing?
You start off with the guitar and then layered on with the keyboard, the vocals, male and female vocals, percussion, and it's all layered in there. And you can hear how it sort of builds, over time, and the highs and the lows of kind of, like you said, Adam, the experience of driving maybe throughout our destination, seeing all of this beauty that is unfolding in front of you. We feel that really matches very well with the soundtrack.
Beautifully done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I could see an airline wanting to pay you for that one. So,
that works.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of British Airways in the 90s. It's so relaxing. Anyway, I love that you've done an outtake. So when people go to the Sonoma Sound landing page, they can actually see this outtake of how it was done and the creatives talking about the inspiration. That was a lot of fun. And second, I think you want to tell us something about first party data collection and the sweepstakes you're running for a prize giveaway.
Yes, absolutely. We are, with having just launched the Sonoma Sound, we are running a promotion that is really when your listeners go to the website, which is sonomacounty.com/Sonoma Sound, they'll find that we're running up this promotion through the end of this month. And it's just a really cool promotion that really doubles down on a lot of different sound elements. And so you'll see that as part of the promotion. And a chance for two folks to win a trip to Sonoma County sometime and experience this place for themselves.
Well, where do I sign up?
So our website is sonomacounty.com/Sonoma Sound. And you'll see not only the promotion, but you'll be able to listen to the soundtrack. Lori referenced the making of the Sonoma Sound video, which the listeners will see there. And then each of the different musicians, including Cliff Goldmacher, the songwriter, I should say, all of their bios are listed on that website as well, which is really cool. And then they offer in each of those different areas their own kind of places that they like to listen to live music here in Sonoma County. So it's really a great little website that we pulled together that showcases this project and gives some jumping off points for some other pieces of content on our website.
Fantastic.
I love it. One last question for you. Any mistakes that you'd say you might have uncovered along the way that you'd suggest to another DMO taking something like this on not to do?
That's a good question. I can't really think off the top of my head of a mistake that really stands out. We were very intentional with this project, and not that intention always erases mistakes, but we were very intentional with this. We wanted to get it right. You know, I don't know if this was a mistake, but maybe just a sign of the times. Because we did record this soundtrack and this making of video during COVID, and we were with mask mandates at that time here in Sonoma County. Your listeners will see people wearing masks inside the recording studio. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people have mixed feelings about, you know, mask imagery, I think, still in these kinds of things, especially with a video like this. We would like that to be a little bit more evergreen. The reality, of course, though, were that we were under mask mandates at the time. And so unless we would have waylaid that project a little bit more to wait until that mask mandate was lifted, that people will again see that imagery. So I don't know, again, if that's a mistake or not, but something that we wish wasn't that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, who knows? It's becoming more evergreen than we thought it would be anyway. Yes. So.
Isn't that the truth?
I think there's one other thing you said in the beginning, Todd, that struck me, which is that, you know, your creatives in consultation, you shared with them the brand guidelines. You went right back to the resource material that defined, you know, the brand you're working with, Life Opens Up. And went right back to the drawing board on that. And I think that's a mistake you didn't make, you know, is making sure that those pillars, the foundations of the brand, are respected as you go through the project.
Yeah, definitely adequate preparation and communication with those artists.
Yeah, that's really, really key. And, you know, again, those artists all live here in Sonoma County, but they're not tourism marketers, right? And so, you know, just trying to get them to understand the project and that this is more than just recording a song. It's really, you know, it's got purpose and meaning behind it that were important to convey. And so we wanted to make sure that they understood that really, really well.
Todd, congratulations on an amazing campaign asset, but also I'm sure the campaign as well. And I appreciate you sharing this experience with us today, because I think this is a very unique initiative that you've taken that other destinations will absolutely want to learn from.
Well, thank you very much for letting us tell our story and for picking up this story. We're really proud of it. It is something, I've never worked on a project like this in my career in the past. And so it was a lot of fun to do. And as usual, working with the creative community in any destination is usually just so much fun and really kind of helps, you know, us as marketers be even more creative in what we do.
And a brilliant result. Thank you so much. Congrats.
Yeah. Watch for my name in the sweepstakes.
Good luck.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
Lori, what a great show today. And thanks to Todd O'Leary for coming on and sharing his knowledge and experience with us. It was a lot of fun today.
Yeah. And I love the music too.
Oh yeah. I'm thinking we hire them to build a new soundtrack for our podcast.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Well, thank you, Lori. And thanks to everyone for listening. It was a great show. And make sure that if you enjoyed today's content, that you leave us a rating or a review on wherever you listen to podcasts. That'll really help us to continue to grow the show.
Looking forward to the next podcast.
See you, everybody.